Our society sends people to prison for breaking laws. Now, these are rules we are told to follow in order to ensure the effective, respectful functioning of our society. There does seem to be an irony to the fact that the very institution where we send these lawbreakers is often devoid of the rule of law. Dawn is one woman who has experienced this. She has seen her husband through several years in the federal prison system, and they've both been dealing with the bureaucracy and arbitrariness that exists behind the walls. Dawn is currently supporting her husband in fighting a recent transfer to maximum security, one that he says is unjustified and based on that very arbitrariness. Dawn joins us on the phone from her home in Calgary to tell us more about her and her husband's struggle with the prison bureaucracy. Thanks for joining us this evening, Dawn.
You're very welcome.
So your husband was recently transferred to maximum security. Why was he transferred there?
Well, there was some allegations made by another inmate, and he was originally put in segregation because of these allegations.
How is this maximum security different from lower security levels? What does this mean for your husband that he was moved there?
Well, it certainly doesn't bode well for him. I mean, certainly that complicates his case as well as fighting any kind of civil litigation. But in some respects, it will add to that. The inmate that was accusing him of doing certain things, he had a lawyer go in and speak to this problem. What is sort of surprising is that this happens quite a bit, so that your listeners need to understand that even with a lawyer going in, most jailhouse accusations really aren't considered any kind of credible information or believed reliability. And this is right straight from the Manitoba Attorney General, and he quotes that jailhouse informants compromise the most deceitful and deceptive group of witnesses known to frequent the courts. And another case that I can quote is the case of Marpa versus Smith and Black, which also directly addresses the issue of relying upon allegations where the source of the information is of a dubious integrity, which is exactly what happened to my husband.
So tell us...
None of these allegations could be proven. They still haven't been proven because nothing happened. And yet he was forced to go to a maximum security penitentiary from a medium. And yet his record with this institution certainly shows that he has never once ever been cited for a problem.
So tell us a little bit more about how this works. So your husband was accused of something that came from another prisoner, and he was sent straight to segregation?
Yes, that's how the policies and procedures. It depends on what the allegations are. However, generally, under the federal guidelines, warden or their policies and procedures state that they can't send an inmate to segregation without cause until that investigation has been completed. And my husband was sent there with no cause. He wasn't even told why he was being sent to segregation.
So how long did he spend there in segregation without knowing why he was there?
A month, 30 days. Under the law, that is quite acceptable. However, that isn't acceptable. You must tell people why they're being thrown in segregation, and segregation is exactly what it is.
So there's clear guidelines or rules or laws that say you need to be informed as to why you're in segregation, and there needs to be a proven allegation.
Yes, and within that time of those 30 days, there was an investigation done, and right from the IPOs that are part of the correctional system.
What's an IPO
as well as
for those people don't know?
Of an RCMP investigation, as well as their in-house investigative supervisor, all found that those allegations could not be based on anything. They were non-founded. Yet he remained in segregation for almost 90 days.
So none of the allegations against your husband were proven by... They were investigated by, you said, the RCMP and another outside body and...
Our TMP always gets involved because they are part and parcel. They're a collective group, right? The correctional system runs on a different level, but internal system of the correctional system has to go through their own protocol. So all those three levels of protocol was investigated, and my husband was... There was nothing to be found. Those allegations made by those prisoners were unfounded, and yet he still remained in segregation for 90 days.
So what did they tell you and your husband as to why he was still in segregation if none of the investigations had found any of the accusations to be true?
Well, see, part of the correctional system, the way that it works, is that they are not required to tell you, especially family members. Family members are always left in the dark. My husband wasn't told of the allegations until 30 days after the fact. And again, you've got to understand that when they're in segregation, they get limited information. And so trying to get information back to him and to the appropriate people, all of that gets lost in translation because you're dealing with different levels, right?
It sounds like a lot of bureaucracy and very difficult to communicate and find out information within all that.
It's absolutely a ludicrous system the way that it's set up right now. And it's been like that for quite a number of years. And I know that there have been quite a few different investigations done within the federal correctional system to clean that up, including a new report that just came out, I guess, a couple months ago with regards to throwing inmates in segregation for unfounded allegations. It's deemed cruel and unusual punishment.
So this isn't just a situation that your husband faced. Many other prisoners have gone through this. It's sort of a systemic problem.
Yes, it is. And it's quite rampant within that in particular institution. Statistically, that in particular institution has more than 36% more inmates being maxed out than your national average. That seems to be a little bit more of a larger general problem.
What does that mean to be maxed out?
What that means is that he goes from any inmate goes, depends on where they are within the correctional system, whether it be a minimum security or a medium security. From there, they are maxed, which means they go to a maximum security institution for the remainder of their sentence.
So your husband was in segregation, and then they found the allegations against him were not... you know, not based on anything. So he was released from segregation, but then if they were unfounded, how did he end up in maximum security?
That is the decision based within, again, you're dealing with a bureaucracy of several different people, and the warden of that institution is the one that makes the ultimate decision, and he actually made the decision to send him there.
And so is there guidelines or basis for that? Because it's
There are general guidelines within the federal correctional system that policies and procedures that they are supposed to follow. However, this is not, obviously in this case, with my husband's case, it wasn't followed. And his civil liberties were absolutely violated by this. And case in point, there are about six other men that were in similar circumstances as my husband that also got maxed out.
Because I've heard the expression, for the good order of the institution, they can do a lot of things, and that can mean many things. I mean, that's all up to interpretation.
See, and you're very right, and that's what I was going to get to, is that is a general broad term,
mm-hmm.
meaning, as you just stated, it can mean anything, and they are allowed to use this broad term to do what they feel they need to do to this inmate, and they're well within that guideline. However, there are still certain checks and balances that they must follow, and in this case, particularly with my husband, they weren't followed.
So Can you tell us a little bit more? You mentioned IPO. Now, that stands for the Institutional Parole Officer, yes?
Yes, that's correct.
So can you tell us a little bit about what role they have, what power they have, and then what power the warden has and how that affects, you know, for example, your husband's situation?
Well, every inmate within the system is given an IPO, and that person is a parole officer. It is an inmate parole officer. And they and their role generally is to ensure that that inmate is following the institution's policies and procedures, that that inmate is, if he has any concerns or problems, medical problems, whatever the issue may be, is dealt with through the IPO. Everything has to go through that IPO. And they are given an IPO when they enter the institution. Now, not all IPOs and inmates, just like on the outside, are not going to get along. So those IPOs can change throughout their time that they are incarcerated.
So what power do they have? I imagine that if you got into a bit of
a disagreement or an issue,
yeah, then that IPO probably has quite a bit of power over what goes in your record and...
Yes, actually they do. And this is one of the other issues that we're facing within the system is that this IPO has obviously able to have all your records. And with my husband's case in particular, the IPO that we were dealing with had put another inmate's correctional information record onto my husband's. Now, just so that listeners understand, this happens quite often.
Would they mix up the records?
Records, yes.
Is that a computer glitch, or they just write someone else's, that you did something in someone else's file by mistake, or how does that work?
Well, that could very well be. For myself to be able to do any kind of investigation, I'm not able to do that. However, just knowing from other circumstances that this is... In my in particular case, I've dealt with this for 5 years, and my husband's record was mixed up with another inmate's, and it still has yet to be cleared. And that inmate's record is still part of my husband's case.
Why would it take 5 years to clear that record? Do they not agree with you that the record is...
Again, we have to go through bureaucracy. I myself have filed claimants against the IPO to ensure that this got done. My husband has filed numerous complaints to ensure that these records are dealt with and cleared up. And this has been a 5-year battle.
And my understanding is that even the parole board has recognized the fact that there's a mix-up in the files and ordered the files to be fixed up.
Yes, and that was actually done this year. We finally got the parole board committee to look at it, and they realized the mistake. And the IPO that was in charge was ordered at his recent parole hearing, which was done prior to his segregation, which was in May of this year. And an interesting coincidence was that 2 weeks after they had the parole hearing, she was called out on ensuring that these records got cleared up and was expunged, and that my husband's record was a true factual accounting of what his record was ordered to do this within 30 days. They were going to have another parole hearing. She has yet to do this. It has not been done.
Do you think that's some kind of vendetta against your husband because he's sort of an advocate inside the system, or is it just neglect, or what do you think's going on there?
Well, I think that you've come up with a couple of really good points. I think that the system overall is lacking because there's not a lot of checks and balances that really deal with these kinds of things. And I think part and parcel in dealing with this person for 5 years... and just the conversations and the problems that I've had with her on the outside, it is and has been a nightmare, and I'm sure there are quite a few other people out there that have dealt with the same thing that I've done, and it's extremely frustrating. And unfortunately, I don't have anything to legally do because of the fact that she's working as an advocate for the prison. Okay? So we're sort of got our hands tied, and I can't have her fired, I can't have her suspended, I can't do anything other than file formal complaints with the Correctional Officers Union. That's the only recourse that I have, and that generally goes into, you know, our comment box, which is usually a draft box.
That all sounds very frustrating.
Well, it has been. It's been a five-year battle, and it will probably continue thereafter. And the problem with this is that, unfortunately, because of what they've done, my husband was take a program, which is part and parcel of an inmate's correctional program when they first go in. And it was ordered by the judge as part of his sentencing. Now, with that and having him put in segregation and then maxed out, in essence, the institution that he came from basically refused to help with his correctional plan. And now he must do a program on the outside, which makes it really, really difficult. There's consequences to that. Longer within the federal system on the outside.
So is your husband trying to get out of MAX? How long has he been there, and how's he?
Unfortunately, that won't happen. He's only got four or five months left to serve on his sentence, and then when his warrant comes, that means that he is paroled. So he will be staying there. Even if we had, and although I've tried with legal recourse, it's the timing. And again, we're dealing with a bureaucracy of that, and it usually takes 10 months. So he'll already be out.
And I imagine not everybody has family members on the outside or the energy of themselves on the inside to fight all these constant bureaucratic
problems that come up. Well, you know, there are several absolutely fantastic societies that deal with family members of inmates. And again, you've brought up a very good point. You know, a lot of this is dealing not only within the legal system, but you have the correctional system back to back. And that can be not only frustrating, but common sense is not prevailing at all, because there's no such thing as common sense. And it's all backwards. And what happens with that is other families or other wives or girlfriends, children, if they have to deal with IPOs and POs when they get released, even just from my own experience, I've had a horrible time dealing with the parole officers on the outside. They do visits, et cetera, so on, obviously, because the inmate will be released, right? And they certainly make you feel, or that there's the assumption of unintelligence on the part of an IPO or appeal, that a family member are incapable of making like an informed decision when it comes to dealing with just that sheer volume of bureaucracy. There's intimidation tactics that go on. I certainly did and had that happen to myself. The stress that's involved with that can be magnified a thousandfold. So again, you know, it's something that I feel horrible about, because a lot of people don't and may not have the ability to be able to fight and constantly get on the phone, and you've got the costs involved with lawyer's fees, and then there are lawyers that may not want to take your case, and then you have logistics, and then you have travel, and all of these other expenses that come along with that. It's a huge expense. Not only money, but time.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but I just wanted to say thanks so much for sharing your experience with us and shedding a little bit of light on, I think, an issue that people don't necessarily think so much about, and appreciate your words and sharing with us. So thanks so much, Dawn.
You're very, very welcome, and thank you to your listeners as well.
We have been speaking with Dawn. Her husband is a prisoner in maximum security in the federal system, and she spoke with us from her home in Calgary.